I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
And it's a good thing for you. You accepted this generous offer to join these guys for the show. And now it's time for the Draft Champions Fantasy Baseball Entertainment Podcast. Boom! It's a killer and no filler. Oh, hey, yeah, not that kind of killer. You know what I'm saying? So, here are your hosts, the Canadian consigliere, Zach Wax, and the godfather of the National Fantasy Baseball Championship, the living legend himself, Mike the Mouth.
All right, welcome to the Draft Champions Fantasy Baseball Entertainment Podcast, the Stitched Edition, because what I said opening the show in my senility, bumbling over the entire thing, I forgot who I am, where I was, what I was saying. Zach got a big kick out of that for the evening. But we have to, you know, we always clean these things up, unlike most of the other podcasts.
You got the funniest part. You're going to edit.
Well, it's not, to me, when I listen to these podcasts in the industry that don't edit out anything, like they freeze up or they drop off, or the dog comes in, or the kid's throwing up on, or whatever. They just keep going, and they don't even take it out. And these are and the crazy thing is, these are shows with sponsored ads. Like, we have to put up with like 15 minutes of ads in these shows, all of them, right? And not one of them is edited. What's wrong with this picture? But we have, of course, the most phenomenal program director who makes it be the most amazing sounding show that's out there, taking care of us. So tonight's gonna be a great show. I really think that intro song, Frank, doesn't get enough mileage, but we should really play all the verses, or at least two of the verses. So it's a great song. Holds, even if none of it's true anymore, because I have sunk to the depths of being one of the worst fantasy players in the NFBC. Again, I said, my people won't keep asking me if I'm going to retire, if I'm serious about it. Right now it's 50-50, and it may be getting less over here. I know what it was, Zach. I got distracted for a second. The Mets were bringing in Trevor Gott to try to hold the lead after they had just tied the game of the ninth. So this is when they're in intentional loss mode. You know you're in trouble when you just tie a game in the ninth and you bring Trevor Gott in the bottom of the ninth to hold the lead. That's your best option, you know, that's out there.
Yeah, they're just going to start intentionally walking players in the bottom.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. I mean, although they should lose as many games as possible to get the draft pick, but they'll find a way to fuck that up too as well. Anyway, before I get too far ahead of myself, we're going to be joined in about 45 minutes. But none other than Justin Mason, if that's not sort of some sort of kink or bondage name, I don't know what is. But Mason will be on soon, on the paid subscriber side of the broadcast, and not the grifter portion of many of you are listening to right now. But let me first introduce my esteemed colleagues in this little venture we have going. First, we are joined as always by our Bora Wonder, non-binary Gen Z program director and producer of Master of the Bad Hair Day, Frank Piscani.
How's it going?
Why are you shaking your head? I said he, she, he, them, they last week. You got mad at me. I say non-binary this week. You get mad at me. So what's wrong with that? No, that's not accurate.
I just identify as a man. So
I did that on purpose, Zach, to make him assert that I am a man.
Yeah,
I think the problem is not what you identify as. It's the fact that we have to spend time on this.
But is there,
I'm not the
now?
One that brings it up.
I know.
There's a reason why I bring it up, just to tweak you back a little bit. That's why I bring this stuff up. You know, that's why there's so much wasted time in society. Everybody's worried about what people will think and say about them. So you have to assert who you are, what you are, what you want to be called for. Who cares? Is really that important? I don't care what you are. Okay, just be a good person, right, Frank?
I think we should hold this until Justin Mason comes on. We need to discuss this with him.
Yeah, we have to figure out Justin Mason's sexuality on the show. Well, we will decipher that by the end of the show, but you're only going to hear about Justin Mason's sexuality on the paid side of the program afterwards. But we do appreciate, Frank, the hair today is a lot better. I will help you find a new barber by the time the show has completed its run. You know, he's in complete Saturday Night Fever mode right now, man. He's got the total, 1970s, poof look going in the front there, which is great. But we'll talk about Frank's Tinder days in a little while as well coming up. And of course, we have my Canadian co-host, my concierge, the master of slacking, the expert on extremely little, Zach Wax. Zach, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Happy to be back. Happy to be part of this. And happy to call you guys friends. You know what? I'm just in a great mood tonight.
You're so genuine. You can just tell the whole thing is. It's been 8 months, and I'm still waiting for you to find your replacement. You know, we've done 8 shows now, and every time I come on, I'm thinking, I'm crossing my, please let there be someone else sitting there. Please let there be someone else sitting there. Nope, it's always Zach, no matter what I do. I thought Frank would scream on me. Well, so
you know what they say.
What do they say?
Oh well,
that's what they say. Yeah. Did you take some time to write that down before the show? That's the best line you came up with from there. But I want to thank also and acknowledge all our subscribers and appeal to all my fans to sign up for at least a 1 month test drive. Now we can get you set up there. I've had people asking me, they have texted me, really, they have FOMO. They hear the free part of the show and they wish they could get the other part of the show. I said, it's very simple to do that. You just pay for it. It's very simple to get this quality entertainment. By doing that, you can go to draftchampionspod.com. If you listen to this show, go to draftchampionspod.com. You'll see Frank's amazing website that he put together, and you can get this through Kajabi. This is a great platform that we put this show out through. Not that I'm hawking Kajabi, because they make no money. They only take money from me in order to host this platform.
No one knows what the fuck Kajabi is, or they don't care.
They don't give a shit. Yeah, they're a monster, right?
It sounds like an app in India.
It's either that or one of those Japanese movie monster films, and the Kajabi's attacking the city or something like that. It sounds like something like that. Yeah. But anyway, I do want to say something to our subscribers before we get into it, because I'm getting tired of all of our subscribers that text me, say things about the show. Why can't you just put it out there on social media and let people know, I love the show, it was great, I laughed at this part, I thought this was hysterical. Why are you telling me? I already know, if anybody nobody knows that it's me, right, Frank? I already know how amazing and great this show is, and me especially, all right? Why are you telling me? Please put it out there, let people know about the show so they can go out and listen to it and experience for themselves. But all kidding aside, really, if you do like the show, enjoy what you're hearing, have fun parts you enjoy the most, share it with me. You can tell me, I'll put it out there and let people know you shared it with me. If you don't want to put it out on social media yourself, we would love hearing from you, because we can't pander for you for a bunch of stars like everybody else does. They want to give us 5-star reviews and whatever, because we're not out there to do such a thing on traditional platforms. Is that correct, Zach? Am I correct in saying that we don't?
I would never argue against what you're saying.
You never argue against what I'm saying? Okay. So let's review what's going to be on the show. Front and center, as I said, will be our guest appearance with the enigmatic Justin Mason Salinger. He of the three names, which we're going to sort that out as well. We will have him coming on in about, let's see, like we said, 40 minutes, because we're recording this. We early recording time for tonight. We started recording at 10 p.m. You know, usually this thing's starting before midnight, and we're going 2-3 in the morning. But tonight, we got an early start. We all have things to do tomorrow morning. And so we decided to get a little earlier start. And Justin got permission from his wife he's allowed to be on the show this evening. So she's taking care of the children so he could be on the show tonight. Zach has actually done, again, some level of preparation for the broadcast, as we'll be discussing, critiquing, and bashing the first 7 rounds of the NFBC's first legitimate draft of 2024. And it's not a goddamn mock. I cannot believe still the RotoWire podcast with Jen Stad and Erickson, so they're still calling it a mock draft. They're saying they're calling in DiPietro's early mock. None of these people in the NFBC have any time to do mock drafts. Okay, no one's going to spend their time doing a pointless mock draft. unless you work for some kind of magazine or fantasy website, or you do something out wherever you go from these first pitch things that are mocks, why would we do a mock? Zach, would you ever take the time in your life now at this stage of your life to do a mock draft?
No fucking chance. I actually, now that you bring it up, it's probably a good time to bring it up. I don't know if I want to wait for Mason to be here to bring this up to make it awkward, even more awkward for him. But I was listening to, actually I wasn't listening to it, but somebody alerted me that the Rates and Barrels podcast was talking about that draft. And they're like, oh, I think they were calling it a mock, whatever. They were critiquing it, whatever. They had some, whatever, valid or non-valid comments about it. But then they stopped. They're like, okay, like these pitchers are going in round three, round four. You know what, like this mock draft, like, yeah, that's okay. But what I'm really waiting to look at is the first pitch Arizona drafts. That will like settle things for them. They're like,
yeah, the people that are there will set this straight. Yeah.
Yeah.
The combined winnings at the first pitch Arizona in high stakes fantasy baseball will total at least $1,000. So you want to listen to those guys.
They don't care about all the Rob and all these guys, Rob and who else is good in that league. Like Bloomfield, he's probably going to be enforced the first pitch too, but like, trying to think of other good players. Like
I'm going to give Ryan Bloomfield some advice. Remind me when it comes to that 7-round draft, because he's queued up to make the first pick, I think, on the turn, because he stopped at, he's a 15 pick. So he's
don't
got
give
the first
him any
pick,
advice.
You know, he needs to get advice of who he's going to pick. Now, I'm going to give him who his pick should be coming back.
Anyways, they think it's going to be like the first pitch is going to shed more insight with like all the different formats and no money, no skin in the game at all. They're really like on the edge of their seat, trying to figure out who's going to be drafted, like what the ADP will fall out.
What are these mono league drafters? What are these 10-team league players?
Only best ball, like the conglomerated ADP from all these different drafts, different formats that have no skin in the game. That's what they're waiting on, not this.
Look, I strongly suggest if you happen to be listening to this show for the first time, or you're not an NFBC player, if you want to make any money, okay, do not look at the draft results you see in magazines or on websites that say mock. Just ignore those things. Don't listen to any mock draft results, because there's not you don't want to be pissing your money away because you're following mock draft results any way, shape, or form. But we will look at the first seven rounds of this draft. We'll look at everybody's the top 105 picks and how they shook out in that draft. And I hate everyone's draft except mine feature. We also dig into some of the breakouts we are targeting for 2024 with Justin and Zach, and where we think that we're going both early and late in the season, and talk about other fantasy baseball shit. We will test all of our listeners' sanity and stomachs as we delve deeply into the personal life of Justin Mason while we're at it. And we have our show Douchebags. We don't have a show Mailbag. We have a show Douchebag. This is a segment where we feature a lot of people's dumbass shit, be it baseball, fantasy, otherwise, and life in general, and I try to set them straight. And, of course, my hilarious fun facts feature, as read tonight by Justin Mason, who doesn't know this yet, because this is not being aired over any radio broadcast. He will not know what he's walking into, but he will be doing a best of fun facts compilation featuring himself. So these are all fun facts that we have featured about Justin, who is a popular feature that we, a personality I like to include in the fun facts. And when I include you in the fun facts, that should be like, you know, that should be an honor that you're in the fun facts, you know. Like my goal one of these days is, Frank, you as a program director should do something to try to get Todd Zola on the show, you know, because if I approach him, it's way too threatening. If you, as a very esteemed, you know, professional program director from a show, make up some name. Don't even say it's this podcast. Just tell him it's something else, right? That we're doing something to honor all of the SSW, you know, the people who won these awards that are in the Hall of Fame. And we want to do a feature and then put him on and then see if we can get him on the show. Because he's been in many of the fun facts, but Justin's going to read all the ones that have been written about him over the years. So that ought to be a lot of fun. So anything. So Zach, talk a little bit about what's going on with you. How's it been going with your drafts? What's been happening this year? You know how it's been going for me this year. So
Nick Chubb is injured. So like all my football drafts, that's what you're asking me about, right? Football.
Yeah. I actually, Zach's bringing this up because we were doing the pre-show production call that we do have one of those because we do work and prepare for these shows last night. And he brought up Nick Chubb. And I said, what is a Nick Chubb? I didn't know what that was, you know, because I actually told him I actually watched a football game, believe it or not. Probably one of my first full football games I've watched, including the Super Bowl in the last, I don't know how many years. I was away with some buddies of mine and they were watching football. And it was a Jets game, of course. And it's funny. I haven't watched it by the Jets and Rams in 30 years. They're the same shitbag team every fucking year, nothing has changed. They did have a quarterback then. They, you know, they find creative ways. It's the same shit. They're like the Mets playing football, basically. And nothing's changed with that, to see that disaster. And that was funny because I was messaging with Mitsep during the time because I'm going to win a bet, a side bet with him. So rather than collect the money from him in one of these leagues, I've said to him, why don't you just take the money and put it towards some football bets, like you, because you know you're the expert of this kind of stuff. He says, well, he texts back to me. He says, the only reason why it's worth watching NFL football is if you have money involved. Otherwise, not even worth watching. And I couldn't agree with you more, man. I don't know what the hell I was watching because it's like, I don't get it. I don't get the allure. I don't get the excitement. I would watch a baseball game 1,000 times over before I watched a football game. So that's out there. But then, except when you, it's almost like other than like NASCAR, like you watch it, you know, or figure skating, when you watch it for like something bad to happen, like someone falls or there's an accident. And then you tell me what this Nick Chubb was, and like his leg, it's like snapped in half, that kind of guy, right?
Yeah.
And that's it.
He's up for the season.
So that just ruins people's draft. Is that what happens in fantasy football? Because there's so few players. If you lose one of your main players, you're screwed.
Half the first round players are out already for like, well, either the whole year or part of a good portion of the year. It's just like it's a lottery. It's a fun little lottery that that people like to talk about.
So football is a lot more luck involved. Obviously, a ton of luck to involve. Become more luck is there. And
there is some element of non-luck, but it's a lot of luck. There's not much edge. There's a huge edge in fucking up your team, but there's not much edge in terms of.
And you can have the best team in the entire world the entire season and still lose everything because it's all based on head-to-head points, basically, right? Is that how it works out?
It's like the first 14 weeks don't mean as much. You just got to get to it, but then like anything can happen in the last 3 weeks.
So it's like the National Hockey League when everybody makes the playoffs, right? So it's like everybody makes the playoffs in fantasy football, or a big chunk of people, you know.
Like not everybody. Like it's even harder to like. It's really hard to make the playoffs. Like, but so you got to win a lottery, and then you got to win another lottery. But there is some element of like analysis to it, but
Dude, I'm sure. And I go back to, you know, I think one of those, I think FTN has, what's his name? He's a big football guy who plays some baseball as well, too. I forget his name, but who's the guy, the big fantasy Nelson? Football guy? What?
Nelson?
Yeah, Nelson. I remember talking to Nelson years ago. And he's telling me, man, he's like, look, it's a 20-1 ratio. Football to baseball, it takes about as much skill to run 20 football teams as to do one baseball team. Or one baseball team. Yeah, because he had so many teams, you know. So he said that's the correlation. So it's what one baseball team, it's easy to run 20 football teams. You know, that's how hard it is comparatively.
He'd probably agree with that because he runs like 300 of them.
He said that, but that's what he said. That's why he can run 300 leagues because when he plays baseball.
It's easier to do the volume, but did he say that it's easier to like, did he agree with the more luck and it's not as much skill?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously for football, you know. Yeah, that's why you got to play volume.
I'll contend that like most of those analysts on Twitter and stuff like that, they're fucking useless for football. Like 99% of them. It's like whatever I've seen out there. Like I'm not doing anything great for football, but I don't think I'm getting it. I don't think I'm gaining anything by reading anything out there. But I will give it to Nelson because like he's the only person I've seen this year make two pretty good calls. He got that Puka guy in a lot of leagues, and then he also was on Brian Robinson over Gibson. He's the only guy I've actually seen make like put his money where his mouth is and make some worthwhile calls. Literally everyone else that I've seen, I don't. Not that I look at much.
I'm happy to say I have no idea who those people you're talking about were.
We should not be spending any more time on this.
Don't know who those people are. Just one last fun thing about football is like I love the fact that who is the Bengals guy quarterback to sign that gigantic deal? He's been like complete shit. Right, whatever. Since the time, what happened? Is he hurt? I don't know what's going on, but I think it's hysterical. You know,
he could pull through.
He could pull through. That's how it works.
Yeah, he could get better. I think Eric Albright hopes so.
Anyway, we can shred Albright. That's good too. So you know, it's great that I know all these people that cross over that play football and baseball too. But it serves them right for doing both. But you know, just how bad it's been for me this year. I'll give you an example of my early New York Maine event. If you recall, this is the draft. You know, with basically that Fleming had, you know, was hemorrhaging. My buddy Scott Fleming, who was hemorrhaging from the head, and had to save his life at the draft before, and I was covered in his blood for the entire draft. I had to sit down to a main event and draft at this point. All right. This event, you know, Fleming, who wasn't even, he wasn't even at the draft table. He was in the hospital emergency room and they had to call someone to draft in his place. Okay. Online. Right. Last minute. Okay. That team's in third place. Okay. And I'm in like ninth. This just tells you.
That's incredible.
This goes to tell you. It just goes to tell you. Okay. Granted, okay, they got Sean Childs to step in and draft his team, you know, or remotely. But again, to be able to call someone in a minute's notice, sit down, draft the team from the computer, you know, whatever. You know, I mean, you'd figure that at least I could be better than that team in that league, right? And no matter how bad it, but that just goes to show you my cut of year that I'm having right there. And that was the team that if I told you that I started that team with Spencer Strider, right, Freddie Freeman, Corbin Carroll, I think those are my three first picks, and Corey Seager. Those are my first four picks in that league. You'd think if I told before I went any further, I should be in first place with that team, right? Right? You think that, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it just goes to show you, you know, it just goes to show you how my luck's gone into that. But the funny thing I was telling you before off the air with Dussault, because he sent me a text, you know, Phil Dussault sends me a text, the great Phil Dussault, friend of the show, great human being. Again, things you'll never hear uttered about me and ever on any other show. That he texted me saying, I wish I had known Ronus was going to be on the show because he didn't listen to the show. Obviously, it was released. He didn't know. I said, we only announced it on Twitter. I don't know how many times that we were having on the show at that there. But he goes, when he texted me, he said, I wish I could have told you my Ronus story before. And he goes, I'm in the Stewart Hotel in 2019 taking a dump, and there's someone in the stall next to me. Ronus walks in talking to someone. Then the person in the stall next to me, while taking a dump, yells out, hey, are you Adam Ronus? This is the guy in the stall. He goes, I'm a big fan. Nice to meet you. That's what the guy says, taking the shitter, yelling from the stall. And that person, by the way, was Anthony Gialdi. No, I'm just kidding. I was going to say Todd Zola, but you would never believe it in a second right there. But he's still in there, by the way. Hasn't gotten out. But anyway, as we look at the main event, where we are recording the show.
Fun fact.
What?
That would have been a fun fact.
That would have been a good fun fact, right? But we are, what are we, 2 weeks out, Zach, from the, the main event coming to a close. And it looks like...
You're half you're half empty. I'm half full. We're 2 weeks away from draft champion season.
If I, you know, because I've already had people texting me seriously asking me, hey, you're going to be doing any early drafts this year? Like, I have to be the one facilitating these early drafts. Like, they're expecting me to contact the NFBC to make sure there's a draft room and we can draft early and I'm forming leagues for people. What do I get for this deal? You know, all I get is headache. I get New York being canceled out from under me and all those drafts canceled and my MTM Ultimate being left in limbo. All right.
Aren't you retiring though?
What?
You retiring?
All the fun things that I like to do now are in jeopardy, right? What am I going to do with the main event? I've seriously considering, you know, if I do play next year, so the MTM Ultimate can continue, is hosting it at my New Jersey estate, on the grounds of my New Jersey. I'm gonna fly Frank down here. Frank can drive. He can drive here. He's close enough by. Zach, I'm gonna fly you in from Canada so you can be here as well. We're gonna do it right. We're gonna cover the show the right way. You know, speaking of which, the 20th, I'm the bone to pick with the NFBC, 20th anniversary, you know, out in Vegas. Do they have a crack AV audio photographer guy like Frank come out and do? No, okay. They use what's his face out there to do the all the video. What the hell is his name? The guy does all the auction. I can't remember anybody's names anymore. Brady Tinker, okay, with his phone, okay, doing photography work and interviews for 20th anniversary. And would you think that I'd appear in one interview? I was not interviewed one time regarding the history or all the stuff. Is that appropriate? Zach, do you think it's appropriate that I was left out of all these interviews?
It's an atrocious oversight and an insult.
Yeah. Thank you. Frank, what do you think about this? As the person, you know, that obviously ushered you into the NFBC along with Zach, I mean, isn't it? It's an atrocity, okay? It's a human rights violation that I was not even included in any of these 20th anniversary festivities. Right, in terms of the interviews and whatever, I should have been front and center of the whole thing. So, right, Frank?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an NFBC experience that does not include Mike the Mouth.
Okay, that's true, right? And we will hopefully continue to have it be that way, you know, at this point. But anyway, you know, but again, this is what I'm talking about. You tell me about retiring, all the fun shit that goes on, right, is being taken away from me. So unless I host it here and do it all up with, you know, catering, you know, have a whole big freaking spread here and a big layout. I have the space to do a big thing. I think it'd be a cool thing since most of these guys are Jersey and East Coast anyway. Maybe people will come down here. We'll host down here. They don't do any, you know, live interviews anymore. There's not how many live, you know, coverage of the shows. Everything's remote anyway. Right. I can get, I can get like freaking like Ronis to call it because he's in Jersey right now. Again, I can get our buddy that did the show, Nando, can come help as well too and do stuff like that. I think it'd be great. What do you think, Zach? I should, if I stay, should I host it here?
Yeah.
Right.
I think we're in.
Got a hotel in the area. We can get rooming for people. It'd be a great thing. So, and then my wife.
I'm in. If you have it at your house, I'm in.
And then my wife will divorce me. That'll be the final straw for this time around too. Second time around.
And you're gonna kill two birds with one stone.
There you go. Perfect. So, but anyway, it looks like I'm Brian Slack, friend of the show, great human being. Brian Slack. Go look up Slack if it's a subscription. He should buy a subscription if he wins it all. He's going to take down. It looks like he's going to take the title, man. Do you see a chance that he's not going to take the title, man? In this couple,
he deserves it. He's been a great player for a long time. I think he deserves it. I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for a bunch of guys up at the top there, but he'd be one of the guys I'd like to see win amongst a few. He's been getting the help from Dylan White. I think he said on a podcast. I think it was on the RotoWire podcast. Dylan White, really good player, and I don't think he really played much like high stakes stuff, but he was killing the TGFBI.
that's an anchor. That's not
a help. Shit on the TGFBI, but like you can, like if you know what you're doing, you can look at what the players are doing, and even in a free league, you can see this guy really knows what he's doing. And when you listen to him on podcasts, it's still a guy, he's really smart. So I think those two guys teaming up, it's a lethal combination and not a surprise that they're winning.
Well, look, I wish him all the best. Was it $250,000 first prize?
Yeah, I think so.
So, I mean, so when it comes down to the wire next year, Zach, and I'm about to win it, if I'm still here doing this kind of thing, I mean, who am I going to ask for help to get me over the top? Should I employ some people behind the scenes to give me some help? To give me over the top.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I should hire a panel of people to help me out. Do you think if I contacted Dussault and all the big shots and everything else, would they all help me out? Give me some like final advice on the stretch?
Yeah, if you paid them, probably.
Yeah. $250,000. They'll do it for that. Just to say I want it. Look, if I could script how I win my title, I was thinking about it, Zach. You know, this would be the perfect way. You tell me if you change anything. If you could script out exactly how you'd win a main event overall title, this is how you would do it, right? I'd want to be in a live main event league in Vegas with 14 of the highest paid, highest money winners in the NFP history, okay, with all of them being Hall of Famers if possible, okay? Mm-hmm. It'd be the ultimate all-time league of death, right? And I'd be drafting from the one spot. And I pick a team of 27 players who not only do not get injured the entire season, but all of them have their career years, right? I go into first place on day one. I lead wire to wire, finishing the year without having spent $1 of my fab budget because I didn't need to. And I win with 150 points, a perfect 150 points, beating Dussault, who's also on my league on the last day of the season by 25 points just for good measure. Okay? How do you think? How does that sound?
It sounds like every league you're in is a league of death. So that sounds like, winning a league of death sounds like the way to do it.
Would that be a way to do it, right? For sure. Frank's smiling. And then I collect all my money. I retire immediately. And never to be heard from again, refusing all requests for interviews and public appearances. What do you think? I just give a giant middle finger to the whole industry because you know they're all going to climb.
So you're not going to retire. I was sort of thinking of you as like the Adam Wainwright of NFBC.
So that was where's the laugh track on that, Frank? Did you have a laugh track hit up? You're sitting there smirking. That was a joke. It was a dig on me about Adam Wainwright.
Serious.
Old and shitty, taking 100 times to get to 200 wins. That's basically what he's saying. So if I stick around long enough, right? Frank has not played the last. He's still sitting there looking at me like with a deer in the headlights. You know, so he's digging on me. He's digging on me. I am the Adam Wainwright of the NFBC. The old fucking guy that should have retired a long time ago. We're sticking around to try to get the big win. Thanks, man. That was good. That was a good one. Appreciate that.
Just not a big win, just like another win, like another basically, like another draft champions win or something. Adam Wainwright, they're already out of the playoffs. They're not to like get the World Series or like the overall championship. You're just getting some more sprinkling some more wins here and there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've said that the best thing that possibly happened for the sake of the NFBC would be me winning the overall title. Right, we all know that.
That would be phenomenal.
It would be better than anybody winning it because, you know, what's going to happen if Slack wins it? Is anything earth-shattering going to happen? He's going to go around kissing everybody's asses and thanking everybody profusely about everything else. He's going to go, I'm going to hear that whiny voice in every damn show talking about this, that, and everything. And it's going to drive me fucking crazy. That's what I'm going to hear. And, of course, I'm going to have to suck it up being the nice guy that I really am behind the scenes. I'm going to have to text him or message him and, you know, say what and be congratulatory about how he won and what a great season it was and everything else, right? While trying to like keep from like, you know, being losing my shit, you know, because of my year that I had, right? That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. I mean, it basically sums it up.
Right. So you're laughing at me about like, oh, you know, yeah, that was like the plan of getting, you know, if I get divorced the second time, you'd be happy about that, right? If that happened to me, you're like making fun of me, you know. See, but then I'd be stuck doing yard sales. Do you have yard sales, Zach, by the way, in Canada?
We call them garage sales. We call them garage sales.
Well, there's garage sales here too. We call them out in America too. There's garage sales too.
Yard sales, garage sales.
Well, yard sales is like when the weather's nice, you push shit out in the yard. Like you look.
Yeah, in the summer, we'll yard sales. Yeah.
Yeah. People throw shit out there. Frank, you know, you've had yards. You know what I'm talking about, right? So I guess this is the bad life. This is what happens when I have too much downtime. When I should be doing fab on a Sunday, right? Because it should matter. I get dragged into yard sales. This is what happened like a couple weeks ago when I'm doing, you know, I think it was a Sunday. I had nothing. Oh, we're having a yard sale for the weekend, right? So it's like it was a really hot day here. Still, I was sweating hot. I had to go out there and monitor at times, sit there as wandering people come into my neighborhood, right, into the development, and you know they're walking up and trying to selling this junk we have lying around the house to make a few dollars that we don't even need that's there, whatever. And this is the old. I wish I had this on camera. This would have been perfect. So this woman, I tell you, old woman had to just be off the boat from Jamaica. One of those companies, whatever, you know, just comes strolling up here and she's haggling over some used clothes that the kids had, right? Which I would have just taken the goodwill, just dump these damn clothes off and call it a fucking day so I'd have to sweat my balls off in the sun the entire damn day. But no. So I got a heat stroke. I'm sweating. And my wife just leaves me to go watch the chef before we know, just make sure, whatever. Like someone's going to walk off with shit, right? I'm like, good, take it. I would love her to come out of the house and find out the truck backed up and took everything for me because I just took this shit anyway. So this woman comes up and she's haggling over $2-3, right? And I said $5 for the latte. And she insisted in broken English, $4. Like she was not going to go lower than, you know, she was not going, you know, it's not happening, right? She's not taking $5. She was not accepting $5 from me. So finally, I said, just to get her out of the way, I said, all right, because she had $3, all these picture these three mangled $3 bills she's handing me in her hand, right? She goes to get the $4. I said, give me the $4, please take what you want, right? So she goes to get the $4. She's wearing sweaty, like spandex pants she should have been wearing, okay? I see, she almost literally reaches into her crotch of her sweaty spandex pants and pulls out this other dollar bill. Okay, it's wet to my side and hands it to me, you know, and walks over this credit card. And I'm standing here going, this is how far I've fallen, right? I'm sitting there with this crotch dollar that she pulled out of a freaking like spandex pants, man. It was like, I sit here, she pulls one out of her crotch, this buck's yours, this dollar out of the $4 I got for those clothes. This is what happens when you don't do well, you know, married men and fantasy baseball. You get screwed over into doing yard sales. And have to take cross dollars. See, Zach was so hysterical. He's so hysterical right now. He lost his camera. Like he got so he was laughing so hard he banged his head and his camera went off. So where the hell did you go?
Nowhere. I don't know. I just clicked on the no camera app. I didn't notice.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Right. So that's what happened with me. That any one stuff happened to you, Frank, lately? How's it going with Frank on Tinder? Frank's been on Tinder. He's been going on some dates. He went out the other night. What's been going on, man?
It's been quiet on that front, to be honest. You know, nothing really to report. That's exciting.
Frank, it's not that hard, man. Everything's online, man. Think about how it was for me to find a woman back in my day, man. We had to work for it. Okay. We had a small population of women in a very concentrated area. And that was it. Okay. That's all you got to choose from. Right. You got anywhere. You can go anywhere. You can go on there, man. And, you know, there are tons of desperate women that would die to go out with you, Frank. Maybe it's your pickup lines, man. You got to work on your pickup lines. You know, I mean, what's cooking good looking is not going to work, man. If that's the pickup line you're going to be using, you know, should you want me to give you some of my top pickup?
Yeah,
I'm going to give you some of my top pickup.
Yeah, let's hear this.
Can I give you some advice?
Yeah, no, I would love those.
Identity baseball. Can I coach Frank? Can I coach Frank to give him some pickup lines? Right?
Yeah, you do a top 10. You're good with your top 10s.
Yeah, I should do a top. I really should. That actually would be a good top 10 list. I come up top 10 pickup lines that Frank Piscani can use to get the Tinder date. Right. Let's do a quick break, though, and then we'll come back for 15 minutes before we bring Justin on. I will give my top 10, my top pickup lines that I've come to get put together for Frank Piscani here on the Draft Champions Fantasy Baseball Entertainment Podcast.
Hello, and thank you for listening. This is Frank Piscani, production director extraordinaire for the Draft Champions Fantasy Baseball Entertainment Podcast. At this time, the free ride is over, and we have to let you go. But if you want to listen to the rest of this episode or any of our other amazing shows, current, past, future, head over to draftchampionspod.com and subscribe today. And now, I leave you with these friendly goodbye wishes, compliments of the star of the show himself, MTM.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Fastball drilled to deep left. Get out of here. Go.
Get out of here, you nosy little pervert, or I'm going to slap you silly.
Get the fuck out of here.
I owe you nothing.
Goodbye, home run.
Get the fuck out of here.
Deep left field. That goes up to back near the wall. It's out of here. Bartolo has done it.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
And that baby's gone.
Why don't you get the fuck out of here?
You're nothing like it. Here it
goes. Hasta la vista, baby.
Bing, that's the end of that.